When Alex came in, we were giving him a hard time because he brought a little fruit into the studio. We're like, of all the days, Wet Blanket DeGenis comes in, tries to eat a little healthy. But I follow up Wet Blanket DeGenis with the anti-sugar rant of Pam Colleen. Pamela, how are you?
I'm good, Tom. How are you? You're going to have to call me Debbie Downer today.
Debbie Downer. There's always one at every party. You're ruining Halloween for us.
Well, I just want people to be more aware of their sugar intake. I mean, we have so many celebrations year-round where the focus is on sugar, whether it's birthdays, whether it's Christmas, whether it's, not
Easter.
Just Halloween, but Easter, right? So many celebrations are centered around the consumption of sugar that we normalize eating sugar. And unfortunately, we shouldn't be doing that. I mean, sugar is actually a new substance in our diet when you look at the highly refined types of sugar that are available to us. In the 1700s, for example, we only consumed about 4 pounds of sugar per person per year, and now we're about 150 pounds
what?
Of sugar per person per year. So
hold
it's
on
not
a second.
A normal phenomenon.
4 pounds of sugar on average, and was it refined back then, or was it natural sugars that were within foods?
I think it was probably a combination.
Okay.
When I say 150 pounds, it's a combination of different sugars.
But even
four pounds. Same measurement. I think they were refining sugar back then. But,
okay.
But that also could have included things like honey as well.
All right. So, wow. 4 to 150. I always thought it was interesting in terms of French fries. We've gone from 2 pounds of potatoes per person to 50 pounds of potatoes per person in the last 100 years. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's an increase of 25 times, but an increase of about 40 times the amount of sugar. For many people, you think of, all right, we have the glycogen cycle. So I ingest glucose and the body runs on glucose and we need glucose. What is wrong with consuming glucose? What is wrong with consuming sugar?
Well, we're not sugar burners, first of all. We're fat burners. So when you're eating, of course, protein and fat in the food, when you're eating good, complete sources of animal protein, of course, which are fatty, hopefully, that's what's going to also energize you in a better way than you ever could from eating sugar. So really, it's a myth that we're supposed to be sugar burners. We're actually fat burners. And
Though that in the glycogen cycle in my cell, I'm using glucose?
Right, but you're going to form glucose as well from eating fat and protein.
Okay.
So, see, that's what people don't understand. And so we believe that we're getting energy from eating sugar or carbohydrates, but it's not a good source of energy. You're going to get far more energy from eating fat. If you're relying on energy from sugar or carbohydrates, that's like putting kindling on a fire. But if you're getting energy from fat, animal fat in particular, that's like putting a log on the fire. That's giving you a long and sustained, healthy version of energy. So per unit, you get more energy from fat than you ever could from eating sugar. And then there's all sorts of detrimental effects, of course, for relying on your energy from carbohydrates. And with sugar, Tom, because it is so heavily refined, there's so much problem in terms of how it interferes with your mineral balance in your body. And so it was Dr. Melvin Page, who was a dentist, who discovered that the sugar actually interferes with calcium absorption. So what it does is it interferes with the ratio of calcium to phosphorus. And this has a huge impact on your dental health and your bone health and even your nervous system. So it's really very, in terms of your overall metabolism, it's very, very damaging to turn to sugar and think that it's going to be a benign substance. It's not.
Are there people who are sugar addicts?
Yes, absolutely. Sugar is a very addictive substance. When people, it's too bad we have to actually do research to prove this, but when people eat sugar, invariably, they report a change in their mood. If you look at the work of Dr. Nancy Appleton, she's a biochemist. She wrote the book, Lick the Sugar Habit. She has a video that's online where she shows a little toddler who's playing with some toys. And in front of the toddler, she puts some cubes of sugar. And the boy starts eating 1 cube, 2 cubes, 3 cubes of sugar. And you watch this boy's demeanor change dramatically. He goes from being a very focused and calm toddler to breaking out into a tantrum, a temper tantrum. And I think he consumed in one fell swoop, he consumed, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 cubes of sugar. And tomorrow, Tom, you just watch. Talk to teachers tomorrow and find out how the moods of the children are tomorrow after they OD on sugar tonight. And you're going to hear them invariably talk about how listless the children are tomorrow, that they're grumpy, they're irritable, and so on. It's altering people's moods. It's having a drug-like effect on them.
Interesting. 16 minutes after 11 o'clock, Pam Colleen, nutritional consultant, joining us on the program, jokingly referring to herself as a Debbie Downer. But in our society, although Pam points out we almost glorify around holidays, you know, our consumption of sugar, think about Christmas candies, think about Easter, but here, Halloween, of course, where it's all about going to your neighbors and asking for treats. I mean, it really masks a bigger problem we have in our society, and it's our addiction to sugar. That simple sugar is by far a more damaging product than we ever gave it credit to. And maybe, though, I mean, when calories were tough to come by, it was tough to demonize sugar. But now that calories are so cheap and plentiful, we're still binging on the stuff. We'll talk a little bit more with Pam when we come back at 16 minutes after 11 o'clock. If you have a question on sugar, 905-688-2582, 1-877-610-2582, #610 on the Bell Mobility Network. You can send me an email, McConnell, at 610cktv.com, or a text message to 61010.
You are my candy girl, and you got me wanting you. Oh, honey. Oh, sugar, sugar.
Network. 20 minutes after 11 o'clock, Pam Colleen, nutritional consultant, joining us on the program. On a day we glorify the consumption of sugar, telling us that sugar, and I think most of us know this, is not the greatest thing we can eat. Chris wants to know, where do you weigh in on candied bacon? That's almost, you know, good and bad. All in one. Bacon. Yeah.
I don't even know if I've ever heard of anything like that. I wouldn't know what it is.
Well, I guess bacon dipped in some sort of sugar-like product and then candied.
Boy.
Yeah. So the bacon, if you can get rid of the sugar, the bacon you have no problem with. It's the candying that is a problem.
Well, what I tell people is if they're making something sweet at home, if they're baking, you know, they whatever you're baking should be high in animal fats, should be made with something like butter or lard or tallow, and that will help somewhat in terms of neutralizing the effects of sugar on your insulin levels. And, of course, make sure there's lots of eggs in there so you're getting a lot of extra protein as well. And so if you're baking and you're using a recipe that's high in fat, high in eggs, then you're not going to overeat that food. So even things like cheesecake, for example, if you're eating a homemade cheesecake, there's a lot of animal fat in there. You're not going to eat a lot of it. And so in so doing, by default, you're not going to take in a lot of sugar along with all that wonderful animal fat.
When we talk about sugar, do we make the next step into starchy carbs? That sugar being a simple sugar molecule in pop or cookies, is it similar if I'm eating bread and pasta?
Well, I always say sugar is sugar is sugar, and you really do need to eat it in moderation. So that's why when I mentioned to you, Tom, on the show, it's really important to try and put a ceiling on the amount of carbohydrate consumption you're eating in a day, because you can overconsume fruits and vegetables as well, which are all sources of sugar. And of course, I made that mistake when I was a vegan. I was thinking, oh, you know, listen to all these mantras, fruits and vegetables, eat 5 to 10 fruits and vegetables a day, that they're so good for you. Well, I took that a little bit too literally, and I ate way too many fruits and vegetables, displacing more nutrient-dense foods like meat and eggs and butter, and of course made myself very, very sick over it. So I think some fruits and vegetables are fine. If people want to go out and have a treat every so often, that's fine. But we have to limit our overall consumption of carbohydrates in general if we want to regulate our blood sugar metabolism. And your overall health is very dependent on your blood sugar metabolism.
All right, here's a couple of questions. Ralph wants to know, I hear more and more every day that chocolate can be good for you, and if so, how? What's your thoughts on chocolate?
Well, one of the things that they tout with regards to chocolate being good for you is that it's high in antioxidants. The trouble is, of course, that if you're eating chocolate, there's going to be lots of sugar in there. And also, chocolate actually can be very high in lead as well. So you have to be
very
careful.
What? Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I never even thought of that.
Yeah, yeah, it's really that's another dark side to chocolate. If you're eating chocolate, make sure it's the best quality you can find. But again, it's something if you want to have it as a treat every so often, but really, really limit the amount of overall sugar you eat in your diet.
We have a follow-up on the candied bacon. Maple syrup rubbed on the bacon, then baked. Also goes good on ice cream. Oh, I make candied bacon all the time. It's delicious. Here's someone sending me a YouTube video. I guess we're the only ones who've never heard of candied bacon.
I've never heard of it, but he mentioned ice cream. And there's another food that could actually be healthy for you if you make it yourself. If you make your ice cream with real cream, real egg yolks, there's a few ingredients that you need to make your own ice cream, and then you actually have a relatively healthy ice cream. When you buy ice cream in the store, most of those ice creams aren't even cream-based. If you read the labels very carefully, you'll see there's not even cream in ice cream, so it's quite misleading in terms of the labeling.
Mike wants to know, what's the bad thing about whole wheat? I hear it's worse than white. Mike in a text.
Well, what he's hearing is that basically, they're trying to distract us against the bad press that's going against grain today. So they try and still sugarcoat it, pun intended.
So to speak.
They try to sugarcoat it by saying whole grains is somehow or another better than eating, the bleached white grain. But that there's still a dark side to grain. It doesn't matter really whether it's refined, unrefined. It's still grain. And unfortunately, grain is very, very hard for our digestive system to break down. That if you are eating grain, whether it's whole grain or whether it's refined grain, really grain needs to be pre-digested before you consume it. So grain needs to have some soaking time, some fermentation possibly, and then it becomes digestible.
And that's why you always suggest sourdough, for instance.
That's why you must, if you're eating bread at all, it really should be a traditional sourdough bread. So yes, I mean, there's what he's reading about is that people are catching on to this gimmick that they're using whole grains as a way to try to soften the problems associated with grain, but it's still distracting us from knowing the true problem with grain, and that is that it's not properly prepared.
When looking back at sugar, how difficult have your clients found it to, I know it's almost impossible to completely eliminate sugar from the diet, but it's certainly when you make a conscious choice to eliminate sugary products, that's a little easier because sugar is in so much. And I mean, but how difficult do your clients find it to eliminate or restrict the amount of sugar they take in?
Well, one of the antidotes that people can turn to try and curb their sugar craving is going to be to increase their consumption of animal fat. Usually, not always, but usually when people increase their consumption of animal fat, they notice that their sugar cravings subside or even go away. Everybody's going to be different based on how weak their biochemistry is. So that's one antidote that people can turn to, Tom. It's not enough to say that willpower is going to do it because sugar cravings are that powerful. I mean, you can't take a cocaine away from a cocaine addict. You just can't do it. It's the same thing with sugar. Sugar is that powerful a drug on people's physiology.
I think Lisa Petty, our other nutritional consultant, said heroin-addicted rats chose sugar over heroin.
Yeah.
she's the same thing. It's like, oh, my gosh, we consume so much sugar. But it's everywhere, and they're easy calories, and it's tough. And, oh, it tastes so good, Pam.
Yeah, well, it's unfortunate that we've normalized it in society so much, and then we look around and we could see the health effects of this addiction on society today. I don't take this situation lightly, and I think, a lot of people joke about it, and I don't see the joke when I look around and I see how sick our children are in particular.
And the amazing thing is people demonized fat for so long, and then really as we've cut out the fat, we've become fatter.
And I want to just point out for Halloween, there is a website people can go to with some ideas if you decide that you want to try to minimize your child's exposure to sugar. It's a woman by the name of Jill Escher, and she has a website called sugaraddictionawarenessday.org.
Yeah.
sugaraddictionawarenessday.org, and she's got a list of ideas that you can implement for Halloween to try to offset the overconsumption of all this candy in your child's life.
All right. Where do people, obviously, PamColleen.com is your website, PamColleen.com. And I get people who write me every week, and I'm like, if you missed it, you can write me still. I'll send you the email or the website. But What is a good book or a source of resources that you would recommend for people if they want to learn more about our sugar consumption and trying to end or limit your sugar intake?
Well, I think, I mean, I hate to say this, but my book, actually, I go into a lot of detail on this. It's called Addiction, the Hidden Epidemic. And I think there's still copies down at your mall in St. Catharines there. I think they still might have copies on the shelf there, or Amazon carries my book. But I go into quite a bit of detail on carbohydrate addiction in general. And I also talk about the importance of animal fat. And I'm teaching my last nutrition boot camp this Saturday in London, Ontario as well. So if people want more information, they can go to my link, upcoming events.
PamKilleen.com. Always a pleasure. Because of you, I will limit, and I'll limit my children's sugar intake. And and for me, it's serious. I'd like to cut down on the amount of sugar I take in, because I think that's an easy way to live a healthier life.
Absolutely, Tom. Good for you.
Thanks, Pam. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Tom. Take care. Bye.
29 minutes after 11 o'clock. Quick break on the program. Is she off the line? Can we talk about candy next? All right. We'll talk candy and Halloween next. All right. Jack Prifta standing by with the news. This is 610 CKTV.